For folks who don't know, the Free State Project is a movement of voluntary human action where we are trying to concentrate libertarians in the state of New Hampshire.
The Free State Project, again, it's 1% of the Free State movement.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, libertarians and anarchists, movers, natives, and those on your way, thanks for tuning in to another episode of Free State Live, where you can hear about all the different ways you can live free and thrive in the free state of New Hampshire. First and foremost, time to welcome everyone back, though. As always, I'm Justin O'Donnell, former candidate for U.S. Senate here in New Hampshire, and joining me, as always, everybody's favorite, our wonderful future queen of West Manchester, Queen Quill herself, Carla Garrick. How are you, Carla?
I am great. I'm just hot off the presses with Tom Woods talking a little bit about what's cooking in the Free State. I call it the dispatches for the woods. So that was great. And I'm getting excited about Pork Fest coming up and life's good. It's cool. So thanks for having me back.
As always. Now, do you prefer future queen of West Manchester over perennial candidate?
Future queen of West Manchester. I mean, you know, we can just cut through the chase and just be like future queen of New Hampshire. And then like, we're good to go, man.
Awesome. Well, Kevin's going to help us make that happen from the comfort of his keyboard.
Probably.
Bring that fight to everyone.
Oh, yeah. How's it going? Good to be here.
Everyone should think about my crown like a boot on a head, you know?
Okay. It represents the position, you know?
Well, tonight's episode that we're reviewing is just titled The Impact. And another one that follows Carla mostly.
Yeah, you're in there a couple of great good clips for sure.
I don't know if I've seen this one. Am I about to be delighted?
This one is, I remember this one when I rewatched it earlier today. Was right away.
I'm sure, like, I must have seen it. So
yeah, it's the episode where Zandra was talking and Stephen Nass speaks up and invites people to come and talk to him. And that's where I'm like, oh yeah, I remember this one right away.
So, he got married.
Oh yeah.
It didn't tell anyone either.
I kind of like it. It looks like this is a little on trend. This is the third person I know who just recently eloped. And I think it's people who are like, I'm saving my money. I love this person. This is important to me. Let's make this happen and forget about all the like bullshit that goes around this stuff and just do it for love. You know, I'm down.
Yeah.
Besides, the average cost of a wedding is almost a down payment on a house. So.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
And save some dough. For sure.
Well, let's get right into it.
Over the past few months, I'm sure you're seeing a lot of reports about these crazy radicals.
They just want to call me the radical.
Some called us invasive species, cockroaches that should be killed.
You've got groups like the Free State Project, which are trying to enact these radical changes.
I got something for that.
I have to admit, it is a good soundbite, no matter which way you look at it. It is a good, definitely a good laugh. I'd put it in a horror movie or something, for sure.
Extremists!
These are extremist candidates.
They have a very extreme agenda.
Well, I have news for you. It's not half as dramatic as everyone wants to make you think.
Thank you, and I am so excited to be here with you all tonight. This is a great room,
Kittery,
and
man.
We're all here because we care about our community. So give yourself a round of applause for being here and being present in this moment.
Unfortunately, Maine and New Hampshire have both been experiencing a growth in hate-based activity and extremism.
What is, like, oh my God, what do these words even mean?
To me, this part was summed up really with, like, I think even Stephen mentions it, is like you're lumping us in with a whole bunch of other groups who have such, are just not at all us or representative of like libertarians or what's going on in New Hampshire. And that was the what frustrated me with this. So.
Right, but that makes her a liar, which also makes me question everything she's saying about everything.
The thing with the definition of calling somebody an extremist is extremism is relative to your own position. So it's extraordinarily subjective as to what who is and what is extreme. Like, to me, I look at someone like Zandra and the policies she pushes as an extremist. And
whoa, so I would do the left.
I would expect her to see me and people like me as an extremist, because it is just relative to what she considers normal and appropriate.
Sure.
Yeah,
absolutely.
That's a good point.
We know that a lot of people are concerned about what hate groups are showing up in our community, who they are, what they're doing. So we thought it would be helpful to go through just some of the groups that we know are active and what we know about them. Let's first talk about NSC 131, or the National Socialist Club. It is a neo-Nazi group.
Okay, they are actual Nazis.
Yeah, dude.
Like, this is where it gets bothersome to me, is like when she lumps us in with an actual self-identified white nationalist Nazi group that goes around spray painting swastikas on post offices and distributing literature about how the reason New Hampshire is so great is because they're keeping it white.
The whole position.
Patriot Front is also active around the region. It's a white supremacist group. Proud Boys. They are a right-wing extremist group with a violent agenda. The Free State Project.
What?
An interesting group that we haven't always considered as part of the hate group.
I think
group.
She was taking a chance here, honestly. Yeah. I think she would not have said this if this meeting was in New Hampshire. I think she was taking a chance that, like, she could get away with it in Maine, because
I think
including Free Staters from these meetings, but just
I think
she
almost
herself, it's like, oh, we don't usually do this.
And that's, I think it's like how it's couched or framed, is you lead with these two groups that are pretty objective in like what they stand for and what they're about and what they do and how they do it. No Free Staters are out in the streets punching people in the face or fighting with other groups. None of these things are even close. And then again, to add us in at the end there, well, somebody in the crowd that doesn't really know what we're about has just heard that we're just like all these other groups. Oh, I see. I've heard of these other groups. These guys must be just like them. And that's where the setup is a little disingenuous. It's a little like...
little disingenuous.
I mean, that's what I say is
borderline defamation.
it is something to me that's just, I don't know what was the deciding factor to make that leap, why we were added to that, what made those decisions. That's what I'd be curious to find out. I just don't know.
It's easy.
Anyway, let's not spend so much time on this, because she's just, we're amplifying their propaganda, right?
Well, those other three groups are meaningless. They have no actual impact in New Hampshire. The Proud Boys, there's like four of them. They show up to protest drag queen story hours at private bookstores, and they'll bring like four people. And they just dress and wear masks and yell at people on the sidewalk. They don't have an impact. She doesn't actually care about them. She doesn't care about fighting against them. She cares about fighting against people who oppose her legislatively.
It's like virtual tar and feathering. Like, she's like just spreading, you know.
No, that's a good way to put it.
It is a group that is trying to move 20,000 libertarians to New Hampshire.
Not
to
trying,
take over state government
have
and dismantle
moved
it.
Many thousands.
The Free Staters are definitely an extremist group. They've got really fringe.
Here's the thing, right here.
Free Staters are
when it shows her updating her PowerPoint slide, I feel like that's the most disingenuous thing, because she's been showing the exact same slides for 7 years and she hasn't changed them once.
Yeah.
Definitely an extremist group. They've got really fringe theories on how our country should operate, and they are organizing for things like secession.
Okay. I am a member of the Free State Project, and Zandra is very disingenuous of you today, but if anybody would like to be an actual member of this not hate group and come meet me in person.
I was offended that she would even throw the Free State Project up on there, period.
Feel free to come find me at any point, and I'll give you my contact info if you want. You can come visit me at work. It comes like community center. I don't care, but I'd love to have more than kids.
All right, thank you.
I just want you to move to New Hampshire and help us make New Hampshire smaller government. That's all we want for the free.
Such an extremist, he invites people to visit him at work.
I mean, that clip, I mean, I could have edited that clip, right? It's Steve Nass. He's such a fantastic spokesperson. He's hit the ground running. He's running a business. He's doing outreach. He's doing local outreach. But to have bam, bam, bam. And on top of that, you could have added this food freedom startup that he has on Sunday nights. There's like a farmer's market that they're running now. He's going to be out at Pork Fest doing all this stuff. It's and he was there. He's like one of the busiest people I know. And he chose to use his time to go to that meeting. And it was important. And here's something that was really cool. If I have my story straight. So in that, Shira and the NBC guys were following Xandra that day. So they were there with Xandra. They had no idea Steve was going to show up there. They didn't know that he was in the audience. So all of that happened because of human action, because Steve chose to go do and make something happen.
That's how this whole thing works.
Sure is.
There's nothing more to it.
Is on hate crimes, as though the Free State Project has ever committed a hate crime. Like, it's not a part of our movement. It's not acceptable to us. It's truly absurd.
It is appropriate to talk about some of those extremist policies and behaviors in the context of what we're doing tonight. Their policies are actually harming community members. This is a recent story. New Hampshire churches condemn wokeness list, saying it could lead to violence. The Free State Project had put out a list of churches that they considered woke communities.
The Free State Project did not put out a list.
Correct.
Right.
This is a decentralized person doing important stuff that's important to him. It's a great tool that has many, many different pages. Honestly, when this story blew up, I got really upset. I think Jeremy and I kind of went at each other a little bit on this. And then he was like, just go look at the list. And then I went and I was like, oh, what? You have to like click 40 things on some Wikipedia page to get to this subtext of this stupid list of like some person who's organizing a lot of stuff.
We run a big wiki, okay?
Like, it was so not what was being portrayed that I was like, oh, come on, man.
In reality, it's a great tool for everybody, no matter what your politics are. If you're religious and you're moving to New Hampshire, or if you're moving to a different community in New Hampshire and you want to find a church or congregation that matches your values,
but maybe you want to go to a pride church.
That's exactly what has happened on the Discord server. Is there are we have a ton of people in there of all kinds of varying faiths and life choices. And people have used it for exactly that. They were like, oh, I don't mind this. I like some of these options better than others. Great. Right. I'm going to check it out. And maybe it's for me. Maybe it's not. And then they move on or they stick around and stuff like that. Like,
honestly, I'm so excited when we figure out how to make these tools. So this is such a prime example of exactly what the Free State movement is, right? This guy was like, hey, I want to build this resource. I'm going to make it happen. It's being independently done. Other people get blamed for the poor guy's work, probably gets kudos for it too, honestly, right? Like, and so it's this decentralized nature. And when we build things that become a tool for just people seeking information, like accurate information, why is it bad to be like, this is what these churches are into? Like, who is worried about that? Like, it's just information.
Right. It is just information. But, like, it's also, like, it's unfortunate how much vitriol came at this list from people not reading the description that's written on the list of what it is and what it's for and assigning some motive to it. And the Council of New Hampshire Churches is, like, four people, two of them who aren't even affiliated with a church in New Hampshire. who call themselves the Council of New Hampshire Churches, and they released a press statement saying that they found it to be racist and offensive and would lead to violence.
I watched the whole thing develop. I'm on there a whole bunch just checking stuff out for a whole bunch. Like the wiki, I don't sit there and read the religious thing on my bag. But like, there's so much stuff on there. You kind of have to dig deep to find this. It's it's just, again, it's framed and it's just not what it quite seems to be. Or again, you can use it quite the other way. Is like, oh, this is, this fits my.
But no, and it explains itself. There's a description right on the page that says, this is our intent. This is why we made this. This is the information we're providing. And I remember at one point, Shira had asked me if I knew who made the list and if I could put her in touch so that she could interview them. And I asked them and they said, not a chance in hell. Mm-hmm. I don't trust any media at this point. She can read the description on the page. And that's what she did.
In late August, the Free State Project released a list of churches and congregations and explicitly pulled out congregations who are actively anti-racist. So, for example, denoted if they might display a Black Lives Matter sign, notations about LGBTQ plus equality practices, and also COVID-19 mitigation.
My understanding is when they mean woke, they mean praising the government during church service, enforcing masks, enforcing vaccines. And I think that's pretty important for people to choose what church they're going to. That seems like a positive form of discrimination where you want to go be with the people that are share the same values as you.
These lists encourage folks to potentially harass or target those communities. They also produced a list of synagogues that included, among other things, notations about how easy it would be to concealed carry a weapon. And in my experience, that is not something you're going to put on a list just to invite folks to come to your community.
It was in her experience. Okay.
You know, back in the day, in early colonial, there was a law. It was on the books in Massachusetts. Massachusetts had a problem with blue laws, things that were passed in colonial times and never repealed. And so they were all still technically on the books for the longest time. And one of them said that you weren't allowed to go to church unless you brought a shotgun with you because you had to protect your congregation from Indians.
There you go.
Oh, wow.
So, hey.
They repealed that in the 90s, finally, when they figured out it conflicted with their gun control laws.
But, so, I was going to say.
Another thing I noticed here, and this is something I'm taking note of, is the priest lady, I really don't know the names in English, the pastor lady, whatever, right, who said, and potentially this could blah, blah. People should start listening for when people are just predicting the future. Like they use their argument as this, this could happen. The government does it a lot, right? Like, but when you start to hear it, you're like, but you're projecting, potentially, you're projecting like your imagination. And I'm like, well, if you stop imagining bad things, maybe you would stop being so nervous and anxious. So maybe you can change the way you think and not think everything is going to be bad. Because it's actually like, it's a form of insanity to go around being like, I'm scared of people that don't care at all about you.
It's also to me, like, if you're someone that's been listening to the language of like neo-Nazis and these other things, and you're lumping us in together and something like this comes out, you've already preconditioned yourself to think of something, the worst case scenario, like you're living in fear of an imagined scenario. I've met a lot of the guys that update this, or I talk to them, and they are wicked peaceful people. And like, if anything, they just, it's that, you know, hey, I'm just going to go find a different place. No one's trying to shut you down. No one really cares what you're doing over here. I'm going to go look, I have a list of options. I'm going to go and take a look at what's out there.
Right. It's literally information. So if you're like, why are you concerned about information?
It's also free advertising for these churches that are trying to grow their congregations.
Yeah. No ill will was ever put into any of this too. Like that's truly a perceived imaginary thing. You know, you can read the word woke and find it, you know, triggering. Maybe that word triggers the same person. I don't know. Sorry. But yeah, that's just, to me, it's a silly reaction and a big overreaction.
To faith leaders, that these were churches that were going to be targeted and potentially harmed because they were standing up for all community members.
Some Free Staters say that you have the same agenda that they do. To move to this state, I'm sure you've heard this before.
Yeah,
move to this state and to advance your political agenda. Well, what do you have to say to that?
Well, I always find it interesting when this comes up. You know,
anybody can move to any state because, you know, a family, they like the community, you know, work. We bounced around and we moved back up to New Hampshire when we got married.
So you didn't move here for the Granite State of Progress?
No. There's a difference, though, between what how some people end up in New Hampshire and how the Free State Project ends up there, which is a political group voted on a state to move 20,000 libertarians to because people in other states and other parts of the country did not support that policy agenda, which is far different than how almost anybody else ends up in any state.
It's quite similar to how refugees end up in the United States from all corners of the globe.
That's it. Exactly. There's so many examples you could use of people who may have a minority viewpoint. I would even say like LGBTQ people have gone through this. Like you're like even the things you're trying to defend have at some point gone through the same phase.
I fully support people who identify as LGBTQ, alphabet soup, whatever, moving from Alabama to New York.
For their own
safety and their own culture.
If that's where you're at and you, that's so easy to me. I'm whacked out.
We come in peace. You know, I feel like that's really important. We're getting colored and characterized in a certain way that I find deeply troubling.
A lot of these people moved here because they came from states or they came from countries that weren't as free. And they probably went through, in some cases, some pretty traumatic issues. And they came here because they felt as if government was somehow had a hand in those traumatic issues.
My great-grandmother was put in a British concentration camp during the Boer War, where 25% of women and children were killed.
I was born and grew up in communist China, and I was the eyewitness of all the horrors. 20 million people died.
When I joined the army, I believed that I was going to defend freedom and liberty. What I found out was that the system was corrupt. The war is a huge fraud.
What inspires me to work my butt off 24/7 for liberty is that I've felt tyranny punch me in the face.
Skepticism with big government comes from a long lineage of being harmed by the government.
I saw what happened to those people with my own eyes. It was very, very painful memories.
That's what gave them the proclivity to be more libertarian leaning, is a skepticism towards the government that they felt like didn't properly protect them, didn't properly address their needs, and that actually did the exact opposite, created the problems that they had to deal with and some of that.
Didn't feel like some historical facts there, you know, like Mao really killed millions of people. The British really did have concentration camps before the Germans. You know, it's like we're not feeling a certain way. These are people who have been exposed to either personal history or, in the case of a lot of libertarians, just have read a lot of history.
That's my case. I'm from New Hampshire. I've just read all the history books. So,
well, I mean, Brody points it out there, and it's weird to me because Brody gets us better than any of our critics. Like Brody understands libertarians better than any of our critics, and I feel like he's like just on the verge of coming around himself half the time and like having that realization, but then he goes and says something in the legislature calling us all traitors. But like he gets it and he's spot on there. You talk to anybody. Like, and I used to play a game when I would talk to people at fairs and stuff when I was tabling, like, name one aspect of your life the government doesn't regulate. And then I would explain to them how the government does regulate it. And they'd be like, say something crazy like, oh, when I brush my teeth every morning.
Yeah.
I'm like, actually, do you know how many laws regulate kind of toothpaste you're legally allowed to use?
I mean, and we can't even get a president who would give you free toothbrushes and ponies elected. So
that was a good setup.
So I also do want to add, just because this clip is very, I think it's a very positive and very strong clip, right? It does evoke some empathy and sympathy, and it helps people understand. There are a lot of immigrants in the Free State movement. People don't always talk about that. And we are predominantly from, repressive regimes. And it's like, yeah, that's why like we're like it may seem radical, extreme, or whatever the word of du jour is to people, but it's like, no, we've actually seen this happen and we're warning you. Like we're literally like, yo, hey guys, this doesn't turn out well.
We're not a movement of immigrants as much as a movement of refugees, whether it's from Soviet bloc countries in Western Europe, China, South Africa, Massachusetts.
I love it.
Came here because they want to be more free.
I was so oppressed. I never heard about individual liberty and rights before. So I thought if I have to leave China someday, this is a cool country to come to.
I left my military career with high honors, but none of these things and no money was worth me selling my moral beliefs and my moral values.
I felt Cuomo, de Blasio, you know, Biden, Trump, Clinton, Obama. I felt the weight of tyranny. So I'm motivated to fight back against it.
And I think it's really important for people to talk, to have dialogue, to stop with the name calling, and to understand we're here to fix the problems they created.
So what's new to me is just...
How long is your street, Carla?
I know! I feel... So I sound kind of out of breath, but it was like...
It's a hill. You do have a hill there.
Yeah, there is an actual hill, and we had just, it is called the Granite State because the ground is hard here. And so while they casually made it look like we were just, you know, into the ground, we had like a 400-pound hammer, like trying to, anyway. So I'm just saying, it was a long hill, and I had a lot to say.
The amount that Free Staters are being mentioned. Now, I mean, outside of Croydon, like, you know, with the ski resort thing where it's like, oh, Free Staters.
But they're labeling us.
Right. It's the use of the label, which could suggest that people are actually somewhat scared.
I got my feathers up last November when a situation threatened the very existence of Gunstock as we know it.
Nothing ever threatened the existence of Gunstock.
As we know it.
Gunstock, as most of you know, is a state-owned ski resort. Should the government be in the business of running a ski resort?
I've been a user of Gunstock since 1965. The profits were through the roof. Gunstock has been a successful operation.
Extremist candidates created all of this chaos by packing in people that were loyalists to them.
They've been tagged as libertarians.
Was he being interviewed right after Game of Thrones? Because can we just like do the lay of the land here? So there was like 12 people on a committee that was all Republicans, of which two were out and one was a maybe Free Stater. So not even a quarter or a quarter. And everyone just packed the blame on these poor guys, you know, and it was like, what? It was interesting, but anyway.
Free Staters, whose agenda was to take control of Gunstock away from the county and privatize it.
So that was never actually on the agenda. They were trying to audit the finances of Gunstock, mm-hmm. not dissolve the county commission that oversees it. And like the history of Gunstock is weird. I've actually disagreed with a lot of Free Staters on this when I started to read into the history of Gunstock, where it was donated land. It was private land that was donated to the county for the use of a commons to use it to benefit the county. And the profits, and he's right, it was very profitable for years. Nobody was disputing that it had seen ups and downs as any business. COVID hurt it very much like any business. But what they were auditing, they were trying to audit it to make sure that there wasn't fraud, waste, and abuse in the county-run system. Not trying to destroy it and privatize it. Now, some of us, I know Granite Grock wrote an article saying maybe that is the solution, and a lot of people latched onto that, and that's a very libertarian thing to propose as a solution to a government service is to privatize it, but that's not ever what was actually being discussed with Gunstock. They were more concerned with the fact that Gunstock, as a government-run entity, was donating a portion of its profits to Chris Sununu's campaign.
Yes, now we're talking. So there was all of that. But also, you know, if we're vision boarding, I don't see why we can't have a Free Stater-owned private ski resort one day.
One day.
Someone needs to buy
it. Chris has one. Can't the queen get one?
Is that how
that
works?
They started putting the Gunstock management team under attack. We want budget approval. We need to investigate how you spend your money. And their goal was to minimize county services all the way around. If they do this, gun stock as we know it will be gone forever.
I don't think it's fair to blame the Free Staters. There are 12 people on the commission. Only two of them are known Free Staters.
Behind them is reduced government, reduced budgets, reduced services. So to that degree, it ties in very closely. And eventually, some members of the delegation came together, were able to turn the tide by removing the commission members. The community rose up. Gunstock is back on the straight and narrow, and it was a wake-up call for a lot of people.
The way it's been reported in the media thus far is suddenly, oh, these evil Free Staters are like, I don't know, trying to privatize a state-run ski resort. I don't think that would be the worst thing, but it is really up to the citizens and the Granite Staters of Belknap County to make these decisions.
Exactly what you said there, Carla. It wasn't what was being discussed. It's not an unlibertarian solution to the problem to discuss that, but it's inevitably up to the citizens of that area, the people who own it in common, to make that decision.
So what? This is, again, an example of actually the gatekeepers, the real politicians, the sort of establishment people starting to spin up stories about Free Staters. So let's just say we're the anti-establishment crew, right, if we want to look at it that way. And so they're using it as a wedge and as an excuse, actually. So I think we're going to see more of that as our influence grows. So these are growing pains. We're actually learning a lot about them tactically. So, you know, I'm going to take it as a...
learning what they're willing to do.
Up here, I think people are just waking up to it, and gun stock was the catalyst. In some places in New Hampshire, like in Keene, it's been a part of daily life.
I mean,
Keene is a whole different story.
Correct.
I think these people are making a mistake, because what they're doing is much like when I bluff and poker, sometimes I forget someone might have a good hand, or if I have a good hand, I always forget someone else might have a better hand, right? And so these people who are saying, oh, people are just waking up now, I think they're making a mistake, because there's enough evidence and proof of our bona fides over the years. There's enough stories of good things that Free Staters have done too. And when they say things like, oh, you know, they talk about 60% who are on their side, they're forgetting about the 40% who aren't. And of those 60, if people start to hear the right true story, they're going to switch. So they're helping us by elevating our brand, because when people start to do their own research, and they should, about Free Staters, the answers they're going to get, if they're a real, like, tried and true Granite Stater, is they're going to like us.
No, they are. And they absolutely are. Like, it's, every time they wake somebody up to oppose us, they're also waking somebody else up to join us. And I bought a car this weekend. I went to a dealership, sat through the whole hassle of trying to buy a new car. My car actually broke down in the parking lot of the dealership. I wasn't leaving without a new one. Like fish in a barrel.
They had you.
Yeah. But the finance guy I was talking to and working with the whole day to get everything through, he has a copy of my book. He's a native. Wow. He'd heard of the Free State Project. He didn't know that there was a local community around it. He thought it was just a political pack or something. He's coming to the next New Movers party. I gave him the info for the crypto meetup, and I was able to use crypto to make my down payment on the car, because I found someone willing to facilitate that at the dealership. Because and he's like, yeah, he's a dues paying member of the Libertarian Party, and he's like super excited to discover that there's actually a community here in Manchester that he wasn't a part of.
Oh,
like they're waking up, and that was a local. Not somebody who moved for the Free State Project.
Right.
Yeah. Yep. And another one too, I think, like in this clip, I think they show like the when they were running in front of the meter maids and throwing a quarter into somebody's meter. And to me, that's like, you're real. Is anybody going to run over and be like, no way, dude, what'd you do? I want a ticket. Like, you know, it's one of those things. Like, how are you selling that as like a crappy thing to do?
Joe,
but I will tell you, that was one of my first lessons in trying to really understand propaganda, because I was like, how did they actually manage to take Robin Hooding, that's a great brand name.
Yeah, it is.
Where people are filling someone's parking meters.
Right.
And have it turn into some of the best and worst publicity we've ever gotten. And I was like, wow, like that could actually be taught as a propaganda. Like, actually, that would be a good market. Maybe I'll teach that next All right.
And Freeman, I was kind of a born libertarian. I'd never liked being told what to do.
Are you
making an offer?
Have a seat.
I'll be doing that under duress.
Take him into custody.
Yes, sir.
I'm a civil disobedience activist. Civil disobedience is where you announce in advance that you're going to break some stupid law, like possession of cannabis.
All right.
Anybody got a light?
I do.
What I was going to do is just start showing up here and smoking every day at 4:20 in the afternoon, see how long it took them to notice me.
It's not violent. It's just to make a statement against some existing system or law or whatever that you want to see go away.
A cop walked by and I blew some smoke over there. They kind of, yep, that's weed. And at that point, he decided it was time to arrest me.
Everybody circle around
him. I got you, man.
Leave him alone.
Keene, New Hampshire had the...
When you've made the hippies mad, you know you've done messed up.
Yeah. it is an interesting thing to see.
Oh, no.
Oh, disaster. Wait.
Nope.
Yes, sir.
I'm a civil disobedient...
...here and smoking every day at 4:20 in the afternoon. See how long it took them to notice me.
It's not violent.
I remember watching
it's
all this.
Just to make a statement against some existing system or law or whatever that you want to see go away.
A cop walked by and I blew some smoke over there. They kind of, yep, that's weed. And at that point, he decided it was time to arrest.
Leave him alone!
Leave him alone. The angriest
drumstick. Keene, New Hampshire had the Robin Hood libertarians who were following the meter people around Keene.
As you can see, we have encountered a parking enforcer. So I want to make sure we got some meters that are filled up here.
And putting in quarters so people wouldn't get tyranny from the local government.
I mean, the horror!
I'm not making that up.
Go back to your truck.
This is low effort activism, people.
Yeah,
this is something that any major city, any minor city that has metered parking, can do.
Yeah, this is something I'd be willing to do.
Joe was doing it in Manchester on Elm Street just a week or so ago, and he saved like 20 people from $50 tickets in like an hour.
Yeah, that's awesome. Actually, that's a great call to action.
But it's not people that are parking there for 7 hours and leaving their car for days. You run in 5 minutes late, 10 minutes late. The thing you were picking up took a little longer. You had to wait in line. You didn't anticipate a thing. Like, it's not necessarily worth $50. And if it means that like you have to circle the block once in your car or park in a public garage, or it's not like it's hard to find parking in Manchester or Keene. Like, it depends on where you are. That's true. But. No, good.
I don't
good.
Think it's hard. I came from real cities.
Yeah.
I can drive away.
Oh my God.
Okay.
I think I've been arrested like 10 or 12 times.
Hey, everybody. I'm still in jail.
And most of it is completely peaceful civil disobedience, mostly in the Keene area.
You're under arrest. There you go. Take
She's
that.
And sometimes you
You're
win,
under
sometimes
arrest.
You
You're
get convicted.
Under arrest. You're under arrest.
When we do civil disobedience, people are upset about that. But then when we follow the process that is in place, or run for office, or get elected, or try and make changes and reforms, we get criticized for that as well. I think there's this push to try and make Free Staters scapegoats for anything that's going wrong or for anything that makes the establishment look bad.
The reality is that most Americans don't like the policies that the Free State Project is pushing.
Democrats and progressives will say that they're very concerned about this like influx of Free Staters that are trying to destroy the government from the inside out.
It's why they had to move to have enough people with their views to force the changes that they want onto the rest of us.
Maybe I might disagree with them when they're doing things like introduce secession so blatantly and so boldly, or a Democrat might disagree with them.
But you can still work with them on different things. Do you have anything
nice to say about these?
I will say.
It's my ringtone.
Free Staters, they're organized and they're committed, and you know, respect that even when you disagree, but their end goal is really dangerous.
Okay, so again, can I just be like, so they keep saying
Free Staters,
don't like,
I think, in like
policies
every...
they're pushing, and I'm like, the you get to be richer because you get to keep more of your money to buy the things that are important to you and your family, and don't hurt people and don't take their stuff.
And the stuff you're trying to buy from overseas is cheaper because we're not bombing them to third world hellholes. Like, you're not paying a portion of your income to make other people suffer the whole time. You're not propping up drug wars in Central and South America so the government defunded black operations the whole time.
Yeah. You're free Nobody's... to use your charity. Charity yeah. money to help
exactly.
your neighbors.
Yep, right. Exactly. Nobody's stopping you from supporting the causes and things you want to support. Go for, go crazy.
Community in New Hampshire.
Grafton was one of the early places where the Free Town Project was one of the early experiments.
As a sort of precursor to the Free State Project.
There he is.
Yeah. I wanted to live in an area where I would be free.
That's one of my favorite episodes, was the Freetown Grafton.
Well, that's a story for next week.
That's so funny. Hey, it's so good.
So this Bill guy or whatever, the guy who was speaking at the end there, who said something, oh, it started with Grafton and the Freetown Project. Does anyone, like, what's he, anyone know who he is, where he fits in? Because I know everyone else, but he's kind of a new voice. And I'm like, the Freetown stuff predates most.
I think he was just one of the involved. Citizens
so
of
it's
Belknap
kind
County
of
people.
Sus that.
Yeah, there's no real good connection. The irony of them pushing so hard for everyone to read the book about the bear, and then the authors in there being like, "Then it didn't have anything to do with the Free State Project." Like, you know, that type of thing. I'm not sure who that guy is or.
That older guy who's in the whole episode sporadically. He's just one of the Belknap County people. He was one of the Gunstock organizers, and has been around and involved long enough to remember Grafton.
Okay, yeah, Belknap County. I remember now. Okay,
yeah.
I'm just making my own notes, starting my own databases, as they say.
Oh man,
Carla's getting ready to write her own book about a bear.
Well, the bears in San Francisco were a little different.
It's more my style. That's more my kind of bear.
Family friendly show, Carla.
Yeah.
Yeah, Grizzlies, California, dude, NorCal. So
clearly, I'm talking grizzly about bear polar population. Bears.
Yeah, depends if they're from Poland.
Or from the island on Lost, still the worst bear ever.
Oh yeah, I loved that show. I was a fanatic. Speaking of bears,
I loved it till I hated it. And here is the reason why everyone should come to Porkfest and listen and buy all of Ian Underwood from Bardo's books. He told me after we moved here, it was like right after Lost had ended. And I was like, oh, I watched that first episode with the bear, and I was like intrigued. It put off all my puzzle brain, weird mystery solving. And he was like, Carla, don't get sucked in. It was already like you could watch the whole thing. He's like, you will regret your time. And I didn't listen to him, and I watched every episode. And then I had to go kiss the ring, as they say.
we'll discuss it. I have a good reframing of how it could have been a little bit better and fixed some issues.
at some point then at Porkfest, we're going to have to sit down for a podcast recording there because I have a friend who's trying to come to Porkfest. He's not guaranteed yet.
You're talking about Jacob
still
from Lost?
Trying to work out logistics about whether or not he can come, who was one of the stars on Lost for the entire run of the
show. Wow. Okay.
Oh, so, yeah. I know exactly what you're talking about.
Oh, God. That's a funny tie-in. How strange that I see now he's got to come because the universe is calling him to come. Yeah. Let me see the error of my ways, because I like to say, you know, where your strength lies is if you can figure out to change your mind on something. And we need people to be able to be open, less literally binary in this black white sense, and just, you know, let's free our minds. We're going to have a great time at Porkfest. Yep. I'm hopeful, you know, that the note, for what it's worth, for the people listening that's going out on this RFK drama, maybe we could just address that for like 2 seconds. Obviously, you know, it's a weird situation. We're all pro-gun. I'm pro-gun too. Dennis asked me what I thought about, hey, if they bring their own security and they do a gun check and just this little area in this vast space is gun-free for a while per this guest, a Kennedy's request, right? And I was like, sure, why not? Let's see what happens. So then everyone got mad. So a few thoughts. One was, I was like, oh, maybe one way we could have the discussion with them is to, you know, anyone, of course it's voluntary, right? So people don't have to go to the talk if they don't want to. They can stay outside where they're going to have a barbecue and some kind of open carry thing. But I think it's like that vibe's supposed to be like, we're doing our own thing and these people are doing their own thing. But then I was like, one, I could roll in with my own armed security. I think we should just do that anyway, right? Why does he get armed security, but I don't get armed security? So maybe that'll make him wonder. But then we could be like, or if you need to disarm my security, then obviously your security needs to be disarmed too. Like either we're all disarmed.
I volunteer to be Carlos armed security.
I thought I could find a job for you, Justin.
You'll have volunteers. So anyway, easy.
So I'm hoping the vibe that is going out, or where we can sort of all meet, because I think it is a test for the community, right? So like, I get it. Some people are like, oh, like this is a real infringement, but it really isn't. It's not statism. It's someone who has a reasonable request given their own history and background to be like, yo, this is how I'm dealing with this. And I think we can meet him. So I'm hoping we can just all be polite about it. That's where I'm at.
Easy enough. I'm going to be partying, so come find me. I'm just drinking somewhere in the woods.
See, that's
so
kind
there's
of
an alternative for everything.
People who want to be doing something else should be doing something else, and we just kind of let it roll. And maybe in the end, there is a better turnout for other stuff than for him, you know, or the community says, actually, this was something I was willing to do. Like, I'm going to go to the talk. So I'm actually making that choice because
you're double booked.
I have my muscle.
You might want to check the schedule, Carla.
Huh?
You're double booked holding auditions at the same time as this talk.
Ooh.
No, we're definitely not doing that. So I will have to. Yeah, I don't know what's going on with the schedule, but there's like way too much stuff going on. I just feel like at some stage a lot's just going to start to.
It's all coming together.
Blend together. Yeah. But folks should remember there are still tickets available. They're only $75. It's $1 a kid. It's $10 for a teen. If you think you're just. This will make Dennis mad, but if you think you're just going to come for RFK, buy a ticket. If you think you're just going to come for Tulsi, if you think Larry Elder, who's coming on Friday, which I'm excited about, I mean, all the way from California, or to come see and rock stars, right? So like there's going to be the Underwoods are going to be there. Olu's talking about his book. We're doing presentations, like everyone's doing stuff. So come meet the crew. Porkfest.com, buy your tickets. right now.
And there are no more campsites at the campground or motel rooms at the campground. So if you jump into the Telegram Matrix groups, the Facebook group, there's people renting out spots on their spots and organizing sharing for that. And yep. of course, there's still motels and hotels for miles around. So
I got a text from Luke, from Luke Radowski earlier, and he's like, yo, do you have a motel room for me? I was like, dude, it's late. I
way was late.
Like to pull some strings, but geez, you know, come on.
That's tough.
Yeah. Yeah. But, you know, weirdly, Luke is one of the accounts Elon follows. Like, I think he follows under 1,000 accounts and he follows Luke. So I was like, oh, let me see if I can find you a hotel room.
Always, hey, exposure is not a bad thing.
No, but it's this is what networking is. Yes. You help someone who has a need, and then maybe one day they help you. You don't shit on a Kennedy because you're from Massachusetts.
Yes, I do.
It's allowed. You have a good excuse.
Yeah. All right. Like, I have plenty of excuses to not like Kennedys. And this Massachusetts is just an encompassing of one area of them.
Yes. All right, so,
but no, Porkfest is going to be a great time. Everybody come out. Definitely make the trip up. If you can't come for Porkfest, plenty of other times to come visit. Just go to fsb.org/visit New Hampshire. Get in touch with Rebecca and Chris. They can help you plan that visit and make sure it's worth your while. Make sure you can see the whole state. Find out where you're going to land. Meet your future neighbors. And if you're here and you need to get connected, even if you're a local just stumbling in and you want to meet that Liberty community, go to fsp.org/calendar. There's something to happen every day. At some point, we're going to make a short video of Kevin trying to do everything in 1 week and burning himself out. Impossible, but he can try.
We could, we'll talk after.
Yeah,
I'm willing to try.
And if you guys definitely join Discord with Kevin.
Oh yes. Day. Jump in and I'll tell everybody about my bear story from this weekend.
Now I know your bear story from this weekend.
There are three black bears this weekend.
And if you want to support the Free State Project and what we're doing, what we're working on, go to fsp.org/give. And remember, the Free State Project is a 501c3 charitable nonprofit. Your donations are tax deductible, which means Uncle Sam doesn't get to spend them. Garlic, Kevin, anything else?
That is it.
Good night, guys. Well,
until next time, everybody, be free.
Just do what's best for me. Don't listen to my enemies. They're just full of jealousy. Yeah, this legacy. You gon' see what's left of me. You gon' see success in me. You ain't seen the rest. I just wanna be the best at what I know. Better than the rest, just watch me grow. Put me to the test and watch me go. This is my quest, I'ma make it known. They call me obsessive, oh I know. Call me selective with my